Brethren in Christ, the text is the word spoken as a kind of a pretext and will include all of the two letters of Paul to Timothy. On this day, the day of Timothy, pastor and confessor, I wish to make the point in my meditation that we too let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, that the word of God dwell in us as in good and honest hearts we receive it, as in the parable. Timothy's name occurs 24 times in the New Testament. It means honor of God, one who honors God, or one who is honored by God. Both ways it fits. St. Paul first met Timothy on his first mission journey in the Lycaonian town of Lystra in Asia Minor. Timothy had a father who was Greek and who, at this time, as recorded in the book of Acts, was probably dead already. His mother and his grandmother were Jewish, Eunice and Lois, respectively. And the fact that they are set forth for their piety in the raising of their bringing up of their child again and again probably indicates that there was conflict in the home, for young Timothy was not yet circumcised. Certainly nothing is quite as severe in destroying family harmony and bringing tension and conflict into a home than a mixed religion, perhaps only second to a dispute over an estate. Yet mother and grandmother brought young Timothy up in the fear of God, and when he became old, he was not to depart from it. It's mentioned again and again that Timothy was instructed even as a sucking child, as a brephos. He was instructed in the word of God, and it paid off. For when Paul came to Lystra and preached, both the women and Timothy recognized immediately that the scriptures of the Old Testament pointed to Christ, and they found their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Timothy became truly precious to God, and God became precious to him. Timothy became a link in the chain which connects the apostolic word to his generation and finally to our generation. Indeed, the word of God is not bound, as Paul wrote from prison to Timothy. It can fly and go wherever God wants it, whenever he wants it. Nor does God need a human link. He can send an angel, as he did over Bethlehem's field or at the empty tomb. But usually God chooses, in this chain of transfer, he chooses links, he chooses human earthly vessels to transmit his treasures, to be that transmission line. And Timothy is one of those links, oftentimes forgotten. So we can speak of the link from Lystra or Timothy as the transmitter of God's treasure. And I would like to point to two particular aspects. First, the outward aspect of his personality to give us encouragement, and then to show his inner character. Timothy was still a young man, of course, when he became pastor of the church in Ephesus. If he was approximately 15 years old in 48 AD when Paul first preached there, he is now in 65 when Paul writes his second letter from prison in Rome. He is now between the age of 30 and 35, and he has already been pastor in Ephesus for 5 or 6 years. So he was an extremely young man. And therefore the apostle told him, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern, a type for believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in piety. And when you speak to the older men, address them as a father, and to the young men as a brother, to the older women as a mother, to the younger girls as a sister, in all purity. The profile we get of Timothy as a young pastor is that he was extremely shy and even bashful. He was reserved, reticent. And at least six times the apostle urges, take heart, be strong and be courageous. Fight as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no one fights if he's going to get enmeshed, snarled in the affairs of life, if he is going to be pleasing to the one who enrolled him. Of Timothy's intellectual endowments, there is little question or doubt. He had high college boards, GREs, and yet Paul exhorts him to spend time in reading and study of the scriptures, and God will take care of the rest. Heed what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. A great promise to claim. Now, of his physical stamina, there are many questions. Paul prescribes as an antidote for his physical ailments exercise, but always in moderation. Join the local health club, do a little jogging here and there, but all the time remember that exercise in godly living is more profitable. And then there was that stomach problem, that dyspeptic complaint, which he had all the time. And of course, Paul has a remedy for that too. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Hippocrates had, of course, already prescribed this. And Plutarch, a few years after Paul, said, that must be the most useful and certainly the most pleasant of medicines. You don't need a spoonful of sugar to make that medicine go down. Timothy was probably not married. He had followed the pattern of Paul, and in the present distress, it's better to be single as a transmitter of the gospel. And I relate these, and I could go on for dozens of more personality, but I simply want to stress these, that we can all somehow identify him with his weaknesses and with his strengths and see what kind of a transmitter of the treasure this really is, that we ourselves can also feel honored by the apostle to be chosen for this task. But what I really want to talk about are the inner qualities, and this briefly now. A pagan teacher writing a few years after Paul, Quintilian, a teacher of statesmanship and oratory in Rome, made this statement. The first requirement of an orator is that he be a good man. The Lord Jesus himself said, and this is similar, that if you want to be a true disciple, you must abide in, you must live and dwell continuously in that word. Peter put it, you must put on, become a partaker of the divine nature. You've got to be born again. You've got to be a new person in heart, in life, in conscience. While going through these two letters in preparation for this meditation, I was just impressed with how Paul stresses those inner qualities. Those inner, not the outward, but the inner qualities. Timothy's job description is plain. Parathithesai, pass it on, announce it on, pass it on as an army without PA system. Get the word out and pass it on from generation to generation. But how to do it? And Paul stresses in a dozen different ways, young man, Timothy, keep yourself pure. Now, that may sound pietistic, but it is not intended to be that way. In the right at the beginning, I'll just cite a few examples. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Pure and sincere, unhypocritical are words that come again and again. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, that you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good or a pure conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwrecked in regard to their faith. The deceitful spirits who will come in the latter day, they will speak lies in hypocrisy, thus searing their own consciences, forbidding people to marry and so forth, and they'll be legalists with all of their laws. But Timothy, nourish yourself constantly on the words of faith and sound doctrine, and then you can transmit these to others. Timothy is to be like the deacons who holds the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And then right after that, Paul speaks about the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And dear friends, do we see what Paul is getting at? He is really saying the requirement of a good transmitter of this treasure is that that word become incarnate in this person's life, that the mystery take place as that word dwells and abides in this person, so that the word and the doctrine become his eating and drinking, his sleeping and his playing and everything, that this is the indwelling which must take place if you're going to be a good transmitter. You're not going to be just a broken record, obviously, nor are you just going to repeat what others have said, but you have to yourself be on fire to transmit this fire to others. Then this message first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, Paul says, and I'm sure it is dwelling in you as well. And lest we forget by way of close, this word which is to dwell in us is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But I was shown mercy in order that in me, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience, that's an alliteration, makrothymia, his perfect endurance as an example for those who shall believe in him for eternal life. Yes, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus bore witness to this in his day. Paul carried this torch on in his day, and Timothy in his day. Now, the turn is ours. We are to be heralds, teachers, and transmitters of this word, the way Timothy was. Amen.